marriage, hauntings, murder. We've got it all. A husband and wife talking about all things real, scary, and truthful. Welcome to our podcast. Hey guys, it is just me today. Eric is at some work training, but you know, we're not going to leave you hanging. We've done that a few times. So today I'm just going to talk at you myself. Sorry. It won't be the same. I'm so sorry. But yeah, so it's just me today. Like I said, Eric is at training, but I didn't want to keep you waiting. So here we are. You're welcome. Today I will be talking about a disappearance that I actually remember hearing about. So it'll probably sound familiar to you once we get talking about it. Like, his name didn't ring a bell, but once I started reading about it and like taking notes and stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember this. So today we are talking about the disappearance of Brian Schaefer. Is that ringing any bells? Not the baseball player, because when I looked it up, it did bring up a baseball player for the Tampa Bay Rays, I think. And I was like, okay, that's not that's not what this is. So a completely different Brian. He was born February 25th, 1979, and he was a medical student at Ohio State University. I feel like this should probably already be ringing bells. It's like, for some reason, I remember that he was a medical student, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I remember this completely. So if it doesn't, you will probably remember. Anyway, he was getting a BS in microbiology. He's been missing for 15 years, 3 months, and 8 days as of today, July 9th, 2021. He was 27 when he went missing in Columbus, Ohio. He's about 6'2", and he did have a brother, so he was not an only child. But like I said, he was a medical student at Ohio State University. And he went out with friends to celebrate spring break. He went to bars, but he did get separated from his friends toward the end of the night. They thought he went home, and that's not what happened. So it was a very, very, very widespread story. It did receive, like, super national media attention. So, like I said, the more I talk about it, the more you'll probably think it does sound familiar. It is a very puzzling case. Like, the investigators still are like, what the fuck? Because it doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't make any sense. So, but we'll get back to that. So he did grow up in Ohio. He was from Pickerton, Ohio, which is a suburb of Columbus. He graduated high school in 1997 and then, of course, went to OSU for his undergrad work. 6 years later, he graduated with a degree in microbiology. So that is a long time. After that was when he started studying at the College of Medicine at OSU in 2004, and he was during his second year there is when his mother died in 2006. It says that his friend said that it was hard for him, but he seemed to handle it well. So, like, his disappearance, like, nobody thinks it had anything to do with that. He did have a girlfriend named Alexis. They thought that they were going to get married. So they thought that there was a trip he had planned to Miami in April, and they thought that he was going to propose to her there. So he did have plans. So again, it's not something that people thought that he just left. So on March 31st, 2006, spring break officially began. I guess it was like Friday after classes, and they're like, it's officially spring break. I went to college. I know that's how I felt. If my class ended at 10 a.m. or 9 p.m., whatever my last class was over, I was like, it's spring break. And Eric would be like, it's 10 in the morning. And I was like, I don't care. I'm done. So I get that feeling 100%. He did go out to eat with his dad to celebrate the occasion. They went out to eat steak in the evening, and his father said that he seemed exhausted from pulling all-nighters during the week because finals are horrible. He didn't think that his son would go out. He just thought he'd probably go back home and go to sleep and sleep off the last week. But he did, in fact, go out later that night with a man named William Florence, who they called Clint. I don't know how you get Clint from William, but, you know, whatever. Maybe that's his middle name. So at 9 o'clock that night, Brian met William, is what I'm going to call him, at Florence at the Ugly Tuna Saloon, which was a bar in the South Campus Gateway Complex in Columbus. And so an hour later, Schaefer, Brian, called Alexis and he said that she had been gone to visit her family. She had just gotten home and they were due to depart from Miami pretty soon. And so he called her and was like, hey, what's up? We're going to bar hop, blah, 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 whatever. So Brian and William went bar hopping. They visited a few bars that night and they worked their way down to a place called the Arena District. At each stop, they had one shot of hard liquor at every bar. So they took a shot at every bar. And then I don't really know what else they were drinking while they were at the bar. But they did take a shot at every bar that they were at. So after midnight, they met another friend of William named Meredith. And she gave them a ride back to the Ugly Tuna Saloon. Which was, like I said earlier, the first place that they went. And she joined them for the last round. So while they were there was when he separated from his friends. They tried to look for him. They couldn't find him anywhere. The bar closed at 2 p.m. and they couldn't find him anywhere. They were waiting in the crowd to see, like, maybe if he was trapped in the crowd somewhere looking for them. Couldn't find him anywhere. He was just gone. So they thought, well, he probably got tired. He was, you know, he was tired. He probably just went back home to his apartment. So we'll just give him a call later because he's probably already asleep. So, as the days went on, they did call him. He didn't answer. And then, of course, he missed his flight to Miami with Alexis on Monday morning. And that is when he was officially reported missing to the Columbus Police Department. So he had been gone for the whole weekend, pretty much, before he was reported missing. So that's like 2.5 days, maybe, if you want to count. If you want to count it as a half, I don't know. 2 days at least. So, of course, the first place that the police search is the Ugly Tuna Saloon because that was the last place they had seen him. Apparently, around that area, there is high crime in the South Campus Gateway District. The bar did have security cameras, so at least that was a plus of that. The police did look at the security footage. They saw Schaefer with his friends, and they see them going up the escalator to the bar's main entrance at about 1:15 in the morning. And at about 1:55 in the morning, Brian was seen outside of the bar talking with two young women and saying goodbye. And then he moved off camera towards the bar, apparently to go back inside. But then after that, the cameras never show him leaving again. So the last time he was seen was outside of the bar at 1:55 in the morning, talking to two women and then, like, supposedly going back in the bar. The patrons of the bar always left the same way. There was no other entryway that he could have gotten in. So he would have had to go in and out of that same door. So investigators were like, well, you know, maybe he changed his clothes. Maybe he put a hat on and he kept his head down and you couldn't see him on the camera. You know, one of the cameras panned the area constantly. So maybe they just missed him while the camera was panning left and right. And another camera operated manually that had to be moved. So they, you know, thought maybe we just missed him. So then they also said there are other ways to get in the building. But like I said, patrons were only supposed to enter in one way and exit the same exact way. So he would have had to go through a service door that was not used by the public. And at that time, when he was there, it was open to a construction site. So he wouldn't have been able to walk through it sober, and because it was hard to get through or whatever. And so they were like, if he was drunk, there's no way he would have been able to get through here. He would have had to go through the same door, out the same door. That only door was the only way he would have had to go. So Columbus, Ohio has like the most security cameras of any place in Ohio. So officers were like, all right, we'll get the cameras from the rest of the bars. We'll see, like, maybe if you could see him walking down the street, you'll see, like, if we went a certain way, whatever. So they get all the cameras from the bars at three other bars that were nearby that showed zero trace of Brian anywhere at all. Of course, people start to get worried, obviously, at this point. The search began to fan out, like, in a bigger area. The officers sometimes used police dogs to help them search. They looked in the street, they looked in the dumpsters, they looked in any kind of waste, trash, anything that they could find. They were asking people in the area if they had seen Brian. They put up flyers with his picture on it. They showed a tattoo on the flyer that he had on his arm of a stick figure logo from artwork from the band Pearl Jam. They noticed that he had a distinctive fleck in one of his irises in his eye. I mean, they were like very detailed, which was a very good thing. That is a very good thing that they did. They even let the city of Columbus even let them into their sewer system so they could search the sewer system to see if he was down there at all. They found absolutely nothing. Nothing at all. They even searched his apartment, which was six blocks away from the bar. His car was still parked outside and nothing seemed to be wrong in his apartment. Everything was in its place. Everything was where it should be. There was no reason to believe that anything bad had happened there at all. So everybody that saw him that night had to take a lie detector test, including his father. So, many people, of course, passed their test. William did refuse to take a lie detector test, which to me is a little sketchy. Even Meredith took the test and also passed. So why William didn't want to take the lie detector test is beyond me. The two women that he did talked to outside of the bar were identified, but they were never asked to take a lie detector test. I mean, you know, in the video, you clearly see him walk away from them. So I guess they thought this really isn't anything of any importance. I don't know. So Alexis called his phone every night before going to bed for a very long time after he disappeared. And usually it went to voicemail. But one night in September, it actually rang three times. So she was like, what? She said, I kept calling it to hear it purely because it was one of the best sounds I have ever heard, even if no one picked up. They said that she may have been hearing it ring that time due to a computer glitch, but they don't really know. A ping from the cell phone was detected at a cell tower 14 miles northwest of Columbus. So that is a little odd as well. The police received so many tips. None resulted in any kind of breakthrough. Eddie Vedder, which of course is the lead singer of Pearl Jam, also asked for tips in Brian's disappearance at a concert one time. But again, none of those were useful as well. People said that they saw him in Michigan, Sweden, and Texas. So that is a very long way for him to be. Sweden is a little farther out than I would think that he would be disappearing from or appearing at, but I guess you never know. So his father continued to search for his son forever. He even hired a psychic that said Brian's body was in a water near a bridge pier. So Randy and his son, Derek, along with some other citizens, bought waders and spent a lot of their time along the shores of the Olentangy River, which goes through Columbus and around the OSU campus. They searched everywhere, near bridges, everywhere. So this led the police to think that maybe there was a smiley face murder theory involved with Brian's disappearance. Basically, that turned out to be nothing. They did not think that that was acceptable, I guess. They said that if it was a part of the smiley face murders, that Brian's body would be the only victim that hasn't been found because every other body has been found. So they thought that that just really didn't have anything to do with it. So then in 2008, Randy, Brian's father, was out in the backyard during a very heavy windstorm, and a branch blew off their tree and fatally struck him and killed him. So that was devastating as well. So Derek is the only one that's left. His younger brother is the only one that's left to any kind of way find him at all. They did have they talked to a private investigator. He volunteered his time to help the family find Brian. They still didn't understand why William wouldn't take a lie detector test. They thought it was odd. They even thought at one point maybe he was still alive. They really, really, really didn't know. In 2009, a student newspaper at OSU called The Lantern put in an article, quote, "If Brian is alive, which is what I'm led to believe after speaking with the detective involved, then it is Brian, not William, who is causing his family pain and hardship. Brian should come forward and end this." William said that he didn't have anything to hide. He told them everything he knew from the beginning, and he didn't see the value in taking a test because he wasn't lying, and he didn't see the value in telling the story even more because he had already told it 1,000 times, and he was like, "I'm not lying, just give it a rest." So after that, people criticized William for not being forthcoming enough. They were like, "You're full of it. You're not telling the truth." So after the private investigator got involved, William pretty much had no contact with anyone. They think that he does know something more, but won't say anything. And that was from a quote from Brian's brother, Derek. He says he definitely knows something. He just won't come forward with it. He also still believes that his brother might be alive and William might have known where he had went to. But like I said, he's still not giving out any information. Derek also said if Brian did take off somewhere, if that is the case, we do think that William would possibly know it. I can't imagine he would have just done that, though. And Alexis also said she didn't think that he would just leave as well. It is very, very strange. So in 2014, the police were still receiving at least 2 tips a month on their Crime Stoppers hotline, which was a local hotline there in Columbus. They had found none that were useful at all. The evidence in the case fills 4 boxes, and they say with 100% certainty that Schaefer did not leave via the escalator. He would have had to go out the door if he left the bar at all. In 2019, there was a picture of a homeless man in Tijuana that looked like Schaefer, like Brian Schaefer, but they ruled that out in 2020. They said that that wasn't him. And in March of this year, they released an age-progressed photo of what Brian might look like now that he's 42, but there has been nothing from that either. So really, it's like he vanished in thin air. There are people that think he never left the bar. They think that maybe he got into it with somebody at the bar. I remember reading things when this did happen that people thought that maybe he got into it with somebody at the bar and like they put him in like wet cement from the construction that was going on. I remember reading that and thinking, oh my God, that's crazy. But at the same time, it could also clearly be true if that were to happen. So I really don't know. I don't know. I do remember reading that though. So, Brian, nobody knows where he is. Nobody knows anything. There was a guy on Reddit that said he thinks Brian never left the bar alive. He thinks that maybe he got into a fight with one of the staff members and his body was hidden in the premise overnight and then removed into a trash compartment the next day before being thrown into a nearby dumpster. But they also didn't know how that would work considering the police did look through dumpsters, but they were like, maybe it was after and they just hit it really well. So I don't know. But yeah, that is the disappearance of Brian Schaefer. I feel like you probably remember it now. Obviously, I can't ask you because you're not here with me, but you know, did you remember it? Have you heard this before? Because I remember this. I remember it very well. So yeah. Disappearance of Brian Schaefer. It's a crazy one. It's very crazy because if he didn't leave the bar, what happened to him? And if he did leave the bar, where did he go? So many questions. So many questions, my darlings. But yeah, so that's all I got for you guys today. I guess I'll do shout outs. Shout out to Derek, Trevor, and Rochelle. Thank you for supporting our podcast on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon, there is a link in our description. That way you can go support us. There are four different options. You can choose whatever you'd like. Any of it is fine with us, and we appreciate everybody that supports us. It really does mean a lot, a lot, a lot. I guess that's it for now. So we will talk to you next week and we will scare you later. Bye.